I would invite you to open God's Word with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Our text this evening will be verses 20 and 21, but we will be reading verses starting with verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 3. As you are turning there, I want to thank you for the invitation to come and to bring God's Word tonight. It's been a warm welcome to be received. You have a reputation of a congregation that has been teaching the truth of the gospel and the love for Christ for many years, and it's a real privilege to be with you tonight. Thank you for this honor and this privilege. Ephesians 3, beginning with verse 7. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was in according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father, we would ask humbly that you would give us a greater understanding to your word. And we would ask, our Father, that you would give us a greater faith to believe your word is true and you intend to follow through in the promises of your word. We pray especially tonight for any who are weary in their faith, struggling perhaps with questions of your love and care for them. May these words be our foothold again. May they be our strength and tower. Our Father, we would ask that you would be pleased to apply them to each one. In Jesus' name, amen. When our kids were small, our tradition on the way to Camp Susqua in the summer was to stop for ice cream at Sunset Ice Cream in Williamsport. It was a great place, not only for the variety of the ice cream flavors, but the ice cream was homemade, but the most important thing was the large servings. One scoop was huge. You'd have to put it in a dish, it was so big. This text that we're looking at tonight is like a sunset ice cream cone that has five scoops on it. One was plenty, but there's five here, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Let's look tonight at this privilege that God has told us, the wonder that God answers prayer. And then he gives us an assurance that he answers our prayer. The wonder that God answers prayer. Here's the five scoops. There's the wonder of answered prayer. There's the wonder of answered wishes and requests. There's the wonder of all answered wishes and requests. There's the wonder of more than all. And then there's the wonder of exceedingly abundantly more than all the wishes and requests. You see it again in verse 20 that he is able to do what we ask. The wonder that God would answer our prayer. To all those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, we have the assurance then that we can approach God with our requests. You look up in verse 11, we're told that you have boldness, or freedom, as the NIV translates it, the fear, the lack of fearlessness. There's no fear of rejection is the idea. And you come with confidence, unrestricted access. What comes to my mind is imagine trying to go through Newark Airport with no security lines and no baggage checks. Absolute free access, boldness, confidence. The apostle is piling up the words here. There's not just one word. He's saying there's a full reconciliation, believer, between you and your God as your Father. And he's told you to come and to pray. And he will answer your prayers. And he answers your prayers, verse 16, according to the riches of his glory. And again in verse 20, according to the power within us. That's the measure. You notice it does not say that he answers our requests out of his power and out of his glory. What's the difference? What's the difference of saying if God were to answer out of instead of according to? Well, if a billionaire was walking down the street and saw a beggar, and the billionaire gave him a $5 bill, the billionaire is giving out of his wealth. But if he was to give according to his wealth, he'd be giving the beggar tons of money. And God is promising here to answer your prayer, believer, according to the riches of his glory, not out of the riches of his glory. He intends to answer your prayer, and he wants you to desire this and all that you could imagine. He's lavish in his grace. That's why Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? 7 times Jesus said, ask. To assure us the Father's willingness, no single believer will ever be disappointed in their prayer of what they ask of their Father in heaven. And Jesus says, compare the fathers. If you have a father in this world, imagine the most kind father, the most willing, the most generous human father in this world. Jesus says, well, they're evil by perspective of his holiness. But if he would give you what you ask for, how much more would your Father who is infinitely good? Isaiah 49:15, even if a mother would forget his children, I will not forget you. Isaiah 30:15, he longs to be gracious. Deep emotion. He longs to be gracious to us. Psalm 84:11, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Matthew Henry put it this way, all the compassions of all the tender fathers in the world compared with the tender mercies of our God would be but as a candle to the sun or a drop to the ocean. God is more rich and more ready to give to his children than the fathers of our flesh can be. This is why the Apostle John would write 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Hears in the sense of answers, as Jesus said of his Father, I know that you always hear me, answer me. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. Present tense, we have. It's yours. Be certain of your answer. What is your prayer life? What's my prayer life like? Is it where it should be? G. Campbell Morgan on his deathbed said, I've written too much and prayed too little. The wonder that God desires to answer our requests, to do what we ask. Let's put another scoop on this. The text tells us the wondered of answered wishes and requests. Not only what you could ask, but what you could imagine. Those desires of our heart that we could only dream. We don't know if it's his will or not. There's nothing specific in Scripture, but boy, they sure are the wishes of our heart. And he knows these thoughts that we ask for. There are promises of Scripture that certainly fall under the wishes of our heart. Oh, that we would pray that there would be mass conversions of people. God would grant repentance in our own nation. Maybe those desires of your heart that are very personal, you dare not even express them. The Lord knows them. And He's able to answer all that we would ask or even imagine. Those desires of our heart that we may not even know that we desire them, we can't ever articulate them, but they're there. The promises of Scripture, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 103:4, He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry. He saves them. Psalm 145:19. And the psalmist, speaking of God, who knows all of His struggles, speaks that God puts our tears into His bottle. God knows every desire of your heart. He knows every whisper of your soul. He knows every tear that you have shed. Not selfish desires. James says you won't receive those, but they're good desires, and as far as you know, they would honor Christ. And what are those desires of your heart? Maybe it's someone you love that you would pray that they would be restored to Christ. Something you long for. Maybe it's a friendship or a desire to marry. Maybe a desire that your marriage would improve. Maybe there's disappointments in your life. What are those desires? What are those tears of the heart? How could you imagine God would be more glorified in and through you? God says in His Word, there's a wonder that He intends to answer your wishes and requests. That's two scoops. Put a third scoop on this. What does the text tell us? Verse 20. All of them. Not just 50%, not just a majority. It's sort of uncomfortable to say it, isn't it? All of them. So that we would be emboldened to ask. He will give you all that's the very best for you. He will give you all that will best glorify Him. Because the Scripture says, Isaiah 30:18, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. Psalm 27:13, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong of heart. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 107, consider the great love of the Lord. So prayer is not conquering God's reluctance. It's laying hold of His willingness. All of them. The wonder that God would answer our prayers. He would answer our requests. He would answer our wishes and requests. He would answer all of our wishes and requests. Make room for a fourth scoop. What's it say in verse 20? More than all. A child says, wait a minute, you can't have more than all. That's what the text says. More than all. Isn't that the response of the believer? You look back on your life and you do affirm, God has done more than you ever thought, ever prayed for, ever imagined. Not that there hasn't been disappointments and grief, there has, but you found that God's way for you is more than you could have asked or imagined. You cannot outwish God's promises. You will never overdraw God's bank account, the promises of His Word. There's this beautiful little verse in Psalm 81:10. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. He's reminding His people of salvation, that He's redeemed them. And then this little picture of a little bird. Open your mouth wide. Have expectations that I long to be gracious to you. Open up wide and I will fill it. will fill it with more than all you could ask or imagine. As the hymn said, none can ever ask too much. What are your wishes of God? You can imagine God's promises in His Word as a bridge with no weight limit on it. No one has ever walked onto the bridge of God's promises with too much weight. No one has ever put all too much expectations upon God's Word. They can bear more weight than you could ever ask for. Spurgeon put it this way, no man ever believed God as much as he might be believed, nor trusted His promise so implicitly as he might do, nor put so large a construction upon the divine Word as it would bear. Oh, brethren, we have to thank God that He is not bounded by our narrow faith, but goes even beyond what we believe concerning Him. There is a meaning in the covenant promises, a breadth, a length, a height, a depth not compassed yet. God condescends to use human language, and to us the words mean silver, but He uses them in a golden sense. He never means less than what He says, but He always means far more than what we think He says. I love that. He never means less than what He says, but He always means far more than what we think He says. There's no weight bearings. God has promised to answer your prayers, believer, more than all you could ask or imagine. There's a fifth scoop. And the translators don't know how to translate it. They've tried it in different ways. Here's the fifth scoop, the wonder of exceedingly, abundantly, more than all you could ask or imagine. The NIV translates it immeasurably more. The King James and New American, exceedingly abundantly. The translators just don't know how to put this into English because Paul is coining a term here. There's no words here in the language. Paul is taking a superlative and adding it to a superlative. He starts with the word over and above, and then he adds two prefixes, completely and more beyond. Lloyd-Jones tried to translate it, who is able to do above all things, to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all. Boils down to is that there's no limits. Do you believe that? Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Prayer comes from a presumption of faith, and it's grounded in an unshaken assurance of hope, John Calvin. It would be very presumptuous to come before God and say, I believe that God is going to answer exceedingly abundantly, more than all I could ask or imagine. And that would be very presumptuous, except God told you to believe that. Believing prayer, believing this text, is not like asking City Hall if they would reassess your property taxes for a refund. It's not like going to the airlines and asking if you could get a discount, or kids to ask your mom if you could have candy 5 minutes before supper. That's not what prayer is. Were you expecting a yes answer? No, not really, but it doesn't hurt to ask. Prayer is not just placing a bet. Doesn't hurt to ask. We are to pray with a confident expectation that God will answer our prayers in ways beyond what we could think or imagine. Richard Sibbes said, when we shoot an arrow, we look to its fall. When we send a ship to sea, we look for its return. When we sow, we look for a harvest. It's atheism to pray and not to wait in hope. How big is your God? Do we fall into praying for things that are quite safe. Statistically speaking, we should pray for safe travel. Yes, that's a good thing. But we know the statistics. Even unbelievers drive safely, most of them. And I'm a defensive driver, so I'll probably get home safely, even if I don't pray for it. Yeah, let's pray for safe travel. How safe are your prayers? Or do we take a promise of God and just say, and pray for something that's beyond what we could even ask or imagine? David Hauer was a missionary in Colombia, South America. He labored for 14 years. He saw a great ingathering of souls for Christ. His brother was a missionary to the Canadian Indians. He also labored for 14 years, but he in Canada saw no converts at all. As David in Colombia prayed, he was moved to ask the Colombian Christians to also pray for his brother Phil in the church plant in Canada. He writes, "Maybe our church in Colombia is to share in the establishment of the church in northern Canada." So that night, 200 Colombian believers prayed for 1.5 hours. And then every morning, you would hear in the Colombian village groups of Christians gathering at 5 a.m. to pray for God's work in Canada. A few months later, David was on furlough. He met his brother Phil in Canada. And Phil's wife, Margaret, took David aside and said, "Dave, back in April, Phil had reached the lowest point in his morale that I've ever seen him in our 14 years in Canada. He was closer to quitting than ever before. Every night he would go to bed discouraged and defeated. He would get up in the morning and drag himself out of bed. He had no joy, no real faith. And after 14 years, he was feeling, what's the use? We might as well quit and go somewhere else." But suddenly, one morning, we awoke totally new. We don't know what happened. But he had a new joy, and he had a new faith, and he had a new courage that God would yet work. And God has begun to work. Not in crowds, but ones and twos. Margaret and David compared their calendars and the dates and the turn and the work in Phil's life and the working of the Holy Spirit converting the Canadian Indians. Was the same night the Colombians went to prayer. 5 scoops here. The wonder of God answering the prayers of his children. But if that's not enough, God also gives us here the assurance. What's the guarantee? How do you know that God will answer? Well, God tells us, here's the guarantee. Here's the assurance. It will be by God's power, verse 20, it will be for God's glory, verse 21. Prayer is answered by God's power, according to his power that it's at work. That's the guarantee for answered prayer. Not even your faith. Not even what you could possibly imagine what God could do. Because at the end of the day, let's admit it, if it comes to the end of the day, if this promise was only based on the size of your faith, it would not really be that much of an encouragement, would it? But God says he intends to answer prayer according to his power. It's the same power that rose Christ from the dead, Ephesians 1:19. It's the same power that gives you a new birth, and translates you from death to life, and rescues you and brings you into the Christ's kingdom, Ephesians 2:5. It's the same power, the Holy Spirit renewing and guarding and protecting his church, Ephesians 3:7. That's the assurance that you have in answering prayer. God will answer prayers according to his power. And that's what you're to believe. To the blind man, Matthew 9:28, the Lord asked him, "Do you believe that I am able?" Matthew 8, in Capernaum, the centurion's servant was paralyzed and suffering, and Jesus agreed to come heal him. And the centurion said, "Oh no, just say the word, my servant will be healed. I myself am a man under authority, soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." And Jesus was astonished. He's not found such faith in Israel. the word, it will be done. Because of the authority, because of the power, I trust you to do this. That's what each of our prayers is. Lord, just say the word, it will be done. Because you answer prayer according to your power. That's what I'm trusting in, you. Andrew Murray said, if there's one thing I think the church needs to learn, is that God means prayer to have an answer. And that it has not entered into the heart of man to conceive what God will do for his child, who gives himself to believe that his prayer will be heard. What's the guarantee? What's the assurance that God will follow through on this? Well, he says it's by my power. Verse 21, it's also for his glory. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Glory is used 5 times in chapter 1, 3 times in this chapter. All things are done for God's glory, including answering the prayers of his children. This is not a text that should be used on TV, quote, evangelists, believe and you'll get whatever you want. And to indulge your narcissism and self-centeredness, make your Christmas like list as long as you like. Because God, the genie, will give you whatever you want to satisfy your happiness and your spoiled, indulgent self-centeredness. No, that's not that at all. We pray for God's glory. And he will do all these things and answer the prayer of his children for his glory. And he will do abundantly above and beyond when it will be for his glory and not for our own. And for the believer, that's enough. How are you processing this text? Is your response guilt? Well, Ron, I have many unanswered prayers of my heart. I believe God would be glorified if they were answered, but years are going by. If this is his promise, then there must be something wrong with me. And you end up in the place of guilt. Or you hear a text like this, is your response anger at God? I have been praying and God is not answering and he is silent. He either doesn't love me or he doesn't really hear. Maybe he doesn't even exist. What's the use? Maybe it's just all a game. Maybe your response is struggling with unbelief. And really in your heart you're saying, well, my requests are too difficult for God. Really? I don't think you want to go there. But you could have a struggle with unbelief because you've been asking and he's silent. And you find yourself just going through the motions and your faith growing cold. What's the use? I don't know. But I would encourage you and remind you that we always are to interpret the unknown in the light of the known and not the other way around. The known is who God is and what he's revealed and the promises of his word. The unknowns are why you're having your trials and why this unanswered prayer. We don't let our unknowns interpret for us the known. It's the other way around. We interpret the unknowns. Why am I having these trials? Why are my prayers unanswered? Why do I have the aches of my heart? In light of the known, I know my God is a God of infinite wisdom, infinite grace, infinite love, and that's the reality, and that's the known. And that's what I rest in, so I will just keep asking and keep trusting and keep waiting. And I will interpret all my unknowns in the light of the known, because I know that God is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think according to the power at work within us. During one of Dr. Wilbur Chapman's meetings, a man rose in the meeting and gave a remarkable testimony, and this is the record of the man's testimony. He writes, quote, "I got off the Pennsylvania Depot as a tramp, and for a year I begged on the streets for a living. One day I touched a man on the shoulder and I said, 'Hey, mister, can you give me a dime?' As soon as I saw his face, I was shocked to see that it was my own father. I said, 'Father, father, do you know me?' Throwing his arms around me with tears, he said, 'Oh, my son, I found you. I found you. A dime. All I have is yours.' And then the man said, 'Think of it. I was a tramp. I stood begging my own father for 10 cents when for 18 years he'd been looking for me to give me all that he was worth.'" Don't ask your Heavenly Father for a dime. Receive by faith all the promises that he's given to you. You're coming to a great king. Great petitions with thee bring. His grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. Don't live as a beggar on a pittance when his promises are over and above and completely and more beyond. All that we could ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church. And in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Shall we pray? Perhaps the prayer of your heart as we're closing tonight is, maybe it's for a relationship with the Lord. All these promises are only for those in the family through because of faith in Christ. Maybe your response is just of worship. And the Lord has expanded your heart again to pray with hope and joy and faith. Maybe it's repentance that our prayers have been too small, too dry, too formal. You cannot ask too much. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, none of us understand the depth of this verse. And so we would pray that you would reveal to us more of how much you love us in Christ. How much you intend to answer prayer. Give us a heart that responds in faith and prays for things that are more than just safe. Begin to take these promises and imagine all that you could do for your glory, for the honor of Christ. That's what we pray for in Jesus' name. Amen.